Well, it feels like it's been a while, but we're back to our Exodus series and our Ten Commandments series with a series. And we've gotten a little bit off schedule, mostly because I spent 3 weeks on idolatry, and then last week we sort of changed directions a little bit. But we're back into this summer series on the Ten Commandments. So I've moved commandment number 3, just so you know, of taking the Lord's name in vain, to a combined message with commandment number 9 on lying later in the summer. And for this week, I actually originally toyed with trying to bunch 3 commandments together today, commandments 4, 5, and 6 regarding honoring the Sabbath, honoring parents, and murder, and try to put those all in one message. What's so funny? Huh? Is a lot? Huh? Oh, okay. I thought I said something there. So, yeah, but no, I really did. I really tried to do that. So I began kind of attempting some titles that would somehow bring all 3 of these together. Sabbath, honoring parents, and murder. So let me just kind of share some of those with you as my attempt. So chill, that's the Sabbath. Show your parents no ill will. And don't kill. That might work. Now you can laugh, yeah. Rest. Treat your parents the best. Don't shoot anyone in the chest. That might work. Give a day to silence. Honor your parents even if they're tyrants. And practice nonviolence. So, oh, thank you. Thanks. Oh, you guys are very kind. So none of those seem to really stick, believe it or not. So I'm just going to do Sabbath, commandment number 4 only, and we'll see if we get to the other ones eventually this summer. But I decided to give a full message to the Sabbath because, let's face it, for whatever reason, the commandment on the Sabbath is the one commandment we feel we don't really have to take seriously. It's the only commandment we sort of blow off and say, well, that was sort of the Old Testament. And we pretend like, you know, Moses came down from the mountain and said, hey guys, I got some really good commandments, and I got some not so good kind of optional okay ones that don't really matter. And in light of it being in the Ten Commandments, really, I mean, for us to say I'm too busy to take a Sabbath is like saying I'm too angry not to murder. Or I'm too poor not to steal. Or I'm too bored with life not to commit adultery. And all of us saying, oh, that's okay. We all mess up. You know, it's no big deal. And this, of course, is the one sin Christians have no problem bragging about breaking or ignoring, almost kind of wearing our busyness as a badge of honor and importance. And yet, in the Ten Commandments, it actually has the longest description and rationale given of the Ten Commandments. There are over 80 scriptures in the Bible on the Sabbath commandment or the Sabbath principle. When God learned that his people later on in the Old Testament didn't intend to plan to follow and observe the Sabbath, it says that he was grieved over it and not happy. Jeremiah says one of the keys to revival is keeping the Sabbath. And there's nothing in the Bible or the New Testament, actually, that says, don't do it. I mean, Jesus does correct the misuse and the abuse and the misunderstanding of the Sabbath, but doesn't actually say anything that would cancel its observance. So what do we mean by Sabbath? Well, I really like and always go back to Lynn Babb's definition in her book, Sabbath Keeping, and I've written this out on your bulletin just so you have it. But she says, the Sabbath is a weekly day of rest and worship, a day to cease working and relax in God's care for us, a day to stop the things that occupy our workdays and participate in activities that nurture peace, worship, relationships, celebration, and thankfulness. The purpose of the Sabbath is to clear away the distractions of our lives so we can rest in God and experience God's grace in a new way. And so this morning, based on the Exodus text here, I want to talk about how Sabbath encourages three things: remembrance, rest, and reflection. And then I'll briefly discuss living out the Sabbath in real life. So remembrance, rest, reflection, real life. So let's start with remembrance, which is verses 8 and 11. But why don't we just stand and read the whole text together as a way to honor God's word here this morning. This is the fourth commandment found in Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. And if you don't have a Bible, you're welcome to borrow one from the back table this morning, or just take one home with you. Those are free for you anytime, any week. Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. May God bless the reading of his word, and may it take root, deep root, in our hearts. Amen. You may be seated. So Sabbath is a day where we remember who God is and then who we are as people created in his image. In case you needed more convinced of the Sabbath principle, the commandment here directly links the observance of the Sabbath with the creation account, which of course preceded the law. So this is not only in the law, the Ten Commandments, but it's part of God's creation design from the beginning, a creation mandate or principle. And some argue that we are not under the law, but it is important to realize that the Sabbath commandment actually preceded the law and the Ten Commandments anyway, a part of the original creation. And the principle or teaching here is just, it's so basic, it's so simple, it's so hard to miss, that if the God of all creation needed a day of rest after working for 6 days, how much more should we do the same? I mean, how many of you think you're more important or smarter than God? Right? Of course, none of us would say that or even think that. But when we refuse to take a Sabbath, a day of rest from our normal work routine, we are saying through our actions, God, that was a good idea for you, but I'm much too important. The work I'm doing is much too important. I'm much too busy to be bothered with following your example of resting from my work. And that might be hard to hear, but it is in essence what we're saying with our actions, which, as you heard, often speak louder than our words. And the reason this breaks God's heart is because he designed this for our benefit, for our joy, for our freedom, for our rest and refreshment. So Exodus chapter 31, verse 17 says that in 6 days God created the heavens and the earth, but on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. On the Sabbath, we remember that we are not slaves to our work, that we are human beings first and foremost, designed in his image, and he's given us a good creation that he wants us to rest in and enjoy. And so the remembrance of Sabbath then leads into the rest of Sabbath. So verses 9 and 10, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. So this isn't about not working hard. Right? Work is a part also of the original creation design in caring for God's good world. There are things to do and to be done, which most of the time takes 6 days a week of very focused energy. But then it says in verse 10, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. So this is huge. Whereas in remembrance, we looked back to the creation account, and Sabbath is linked with that. Now the Sabbath is linked into the context of the Exodus and the deliverance from slavery in Egypt. See, there the Israelites were given no rest. They were slaves. They were not free to worship and emulate their God. And God is saying, I'm now inviting you into a new way of living, a new rhythm of life. You are no longer slaves, but you are free to be called who I called you to be, free to worship me. And so we must see this commandment not only in the context of the creation story, as a part of God's good plan for the earth, but also in the context of the grace and redemption of the Exodus that precedes the giving of the law. So this is not about legalism. This is about the new life God is calling Israel into, one different from their old life of slavery. See, freedom from serving Pharaoh is meant to be replaced with freedom to serve God. And God is saying to Israel, hey guys, I got really good news for you. I'm not like Pharaoh. I'm not a hard taskmaster who is just trying to get the most I possibly can out of you. I don't treat you like a commodity. I don't want you to treat others like that either. Which is why it says here, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your town should work on the Sabbath. We are to emulate God in that way. And God extends this grace even beyond his covenant people. It's a common grace extended to all, which is why even non-Christians who practice the godly rhythm of work and rest are actually blessed by it, benefit from it, even as so many secular and psychological studies would show us of people that take 24 hours to rest and cease from their work. Friends, our good God, in his love, has given you permission to take one day a week not to work. Not accomplish, not produce, not maximize effectiveness and efficiency. I mean, what a good God. So if we're working 7 days a week, we're trying to please someone other than God because he's not asking us to do that. And so out of love for God, submitting to his wisdom, we take a day to remember who God is. And who we are as his creation, to rest from our work. And then all this would lead us into reflection, point number three. So I love the Sabbath, because in the best of ways, it brings some of the issues of our heart to the surface, issues that will go unnoticed or unattended to if we don't observe the Sabbath. Because you'll notice, those of you who practice the Sabbath, or if you try it, it's amazing, especially for some of us achievers and workaholics, how hard it can be to rest from work. Because it very quickly reveals what we prize, how we determine what a successful or productive day looks like, where we find our sense of worth, and it tests our faith that God can still keep working even when we're not. I mean, almost weekly, I really struggle and kind of thinking or feeling like, I should be trying to get something done. Right? Oh, this would be a great day to get those extra things on the to-do list that have been sitting there for a while. Or man, I'll just quickly check if there's any urgent emails that I need to respond to. So we can ask ourselves, why am I struggling in taking a Sabbath day of rest? What feelings are coming to the surface as I cease from work, and what do they tell me? Eugene Peterson, a great writer on the Sabbath, says that if you cannot afford to take one day a week for rest, you are taking yourself too seriously. And part of what keeps us so busy, working so much, is our idolatry, our wanting to feel productive, finding worth in our jobs, our desire for our respect, or even our greed for money and material things. And when we don't rest, withdraw from the busy, frantic pace of life and the overstimulation that we constantly subject ourselves to, we lose the ability to properly reflect on where our life is going, what we're doing, what kind of people we're becoming, and so on. And busyness is just a great way to ignore the deeper issues in our heart and kind of sweep it under the rug as much as possible, what's actually happening in our souls. But in the end, that harms us. And then years down the road, we end up wondering, how did I get here? And like so many issues, Sabbath rest is really just a trust issue. Right? We can do it our way and live in response to this 24/7 world and the demands and our own unhealthy desires and say we have too much to do to dedicate a day to rest, or we can believe God's word and do it his way. So the question is, who do we trust? Which God are we serving? See, I really don't think God's so much angry that we don't honor the Sabbath. He's just hurt, like anyone who offers a beautiful gift and it gets refused. I mean, a weekly day of rest is a gift from God. The Sabbath is not so much a rule to follow. It is a gift to be received for the healing and health of our souls. And it's an invitation into grace where we rest from our work and our striving, remembering the good news that there is nothing we can do to make God love us more. Our actions don't trigger God's love for us. You are already loved just as you are, because you are a child of God, created in his image. So we need to take the time as we remember and rest to reflect on the condition of our souls, our lives, where we're headed, what really matters in life. And a Sabbath helps us to do this. So let's move to the last point then, talking about how do we practice the Sabbath in real life and why does it matter? So you might say, you know, Joseph, this all sounds beautiful, but I live in the real world. I got a real job, real demands, real people that need me. What am I supposed to do? Well, first, I do think in the New Testament era, there actually is some flexibility as to how you observe the Sabbath, and the variety of Sabbath possibilities are nearly endless, from incorporating maybe 2 half days into a week, using different days each week if your work schedule changes from time to time, forming your own routine of work and rest. The point is there some sort of defined rhythm that reflects the character and heart of God who worked for 6 days and rested on the seventh and was refreshed. So resting, preferably for 24 hours, from whatever is associated with work for you. So it could be your computer, could be certain people, could be household chores, email, errands, anything kind of that would appear on a to-do list, so to speak. And you may want to include in your Sabbath a break from media or technology or a break from your phone or something like that. But I do think for the most part that it does make sense and gives us the best potential for kingdom impact and kingdom witness in the world to somewhat agree together as a community on a day where we can worship and rest. And of course, historically, that day has been Sunday and makes the most sense. And that's what the church has done since the time of Jesus' resurrection. So this works well for a couple reasons. Number one, I think some of the remembrance and reflection and these activities that nurture peace and relationships and celebration and togetherness and thankfulness, they're then naturally worked into the day for us as we gather together with the worshiping community. So church together is a time to slow down, to cease from our work, and refocus our lives and priorities. That's one of the reasons we're here. Number two, for thousands of years, people have always gotten together on the Sabbath to observe it and celebrate it together. It's not meant to be a day just of isolation, although it can and maybe should include some of that. But that's always been, it's always been somewhat of a festive day, actually, of celebration, celebrating the goodness of God, celebrating our freedom from slavery. And so here's why this is so important. The rhythm of the gathering and scattering of the worshiping community is essential for Christian discipleship and witness. And we can't do it very effectively if we don't have a day or time together that we try to protect as much as possible. So let me give you a personal story or testimony. So when I got saved in high school, maybe right around Josiah's age or something like that, I was working at this upscale car wash. And I had worked my way up. I've always been good with numbers and words and those sorts of things. And so I had worked my way up into the top salesman position at this kind of ritzy car wash. And so I was making quite a bit of good money for a teenager. And so then I got saved. And the busiest time at the car wash, and this is in like dirty, salty, wintry Pennsylvania, which means everybody's got to wash their car almost every week so it doesn't like fall apart in 1 year due to all the salt and everything. And the busiest time, of course, is on the weekends when people aren't working. And so I got saved and I went to my boss and said, I can't work on Sundays anymore. I need to be with my church family. I got new priorities in life. And this was really hard for two reasons. Number one, I made a lot of money on Sundays. So we would often run 500-600 cars through the car wash in 1 day. I usually averaged about 50 cents per car in commission. That's about $300. That's a lot of money for a high school student. That's 20 years ago, plus your wage on top of that. So it was tough for me. Number two, it was bad for them because I had the highest average per car numbers, which meant I brought in more money for the car wash than anybody else, thousands more than most of the other salespeople. So they were not very happy that now they're not making as much per car when I'm working there. So they gave me a really hard time about it. And in fact, they even would tease me ongoing for several years about how I wouldn't work on Sundays, but I stuck with it. But here's the thing. At the end of the day, what was more important? I could have made that extra $300 a week. I could have pleased my boss. Or I could have continued growing in my Christian discipleship and maturity, which as a new believer was so important, without which there's no way I'm standing here today. And Jesus says it like this. What good is it to gain the whole world and yet forfeit your soul? Right? So our priorities get revealed. So I think it might look like something like this, where you actually go to your employer and said, hey, Sunday for me, it's a day of worship and rest with my church family, and I really want to be there with them. I prefer not to work on Sundays. Can we work something out? And maybe, you know, you can come to some sort of agreement or compromise. Ideally, you have that conversation before you take a job, so you know what you're getting yourself into and those sorts of things. But I mean, really, the way we got ourselves into this position in the first place, I mean, it's sort of our fault, right? As we started giving up this protected time for Sunday worship and rest, well, then the world started accommodating that as it went on, right? So it's kind of like these two cartoons that you have here. The first one is here. This kind of just shows the progression that some of us have experienced even in our lifetime. So the one kid says, our grandfathers called it the Sabbath, our fathers called it Sunday, and we call it the weekend. Right? That's kind of the progression over time. And maybe even, you know, we kind of hear this message and we feel a little bit like this. Moses comes down from the mountain here in the next comic, and he's got the Sabbath commandments in his hands, and the people say, well, there goes our weekend plans. that's over. If we stop showing up at the soccer practices and the hockey practices and all the things on Sunday mornings, particularly if revival hit Vancouver Island, they would stop having them. The reason they're having them is because we're all willing to show up and forego the worshiping community. At the church a few weeks ago, we went to the Qualicum Beach Family Day, which of course always starts on Sunday morning, but goes on through the afternoon. And we showed up, and there was already a lot of people there. We went to eat lunch right after church. And Anya said, hey, how did all these people get here before us? And I said, well, actually, honey, it started this morning. And she said, but wasn't everybody in church? If only. Then I went on to explain to her the de-Christianization and secularization of our postmodern, post-Christian culture in a Canadian context. And it sort of all made sense to her after that. She's really, really smart. There's this new trend, those of you who are parents know, of now kids' birthday parties being on Sunday morning. And it's really tough. But if we start going to those all the time, A, they're going to keep having them. And B, we're going to start losing out on being with the worshiping community and foregoing the Sabbath. And there's a fine line here, I realize, and you're probably wrestling in your heart, of being missional and, of course, wanting to be a part of these things, but then letting people know, hey, I'm a Christian. And being with my faith family is important, in fact, essential to my life and is a priority. And I think, actually, people respect that. Because if they're going to know a Christian, they need a good example of what one looks like, what our priorities are. They want them usually to at least be a devoted Christian and notice something different about us, about your way of life, your rhythms, what you prioritize. And if we show up at all of these things on Sunday morning, how will they think we're serious about our faith? And how can that be an example to them of what we want to invite them into? I mean, otherwise, what will be attractive or different about us that causes them to ask questions? How will we invite them into something different? And that's the last thing I want to talk about, is, which I think is very important, is seeing the Sabbath actually as missional, meaning a part of our mission in the world, the mission God has called us to. And I really see this in two ways. Number one, in loving others. So actually, having a Sabbath day, observing the Sabbath, is not a selfish activity. Everything we do in the Christian life should have a larger vision, an ultimate kingdom purpose, what we would call the telos or the end goal, namely the greater glory of God in the world and the great commandment of loving God and loving neighbor. And any time our telos or our end goal, our reasoning is something less than the greater glory of God and his call to love him and love neighbor, that's potentially idolatry. It's a pursuit that has lost its focus. And the Sabbath can become idolatrous. I've seen it happen to people, and so did Jesus. As Jesus says elsewhere, the Sabbath was made for people, not people for the Sabbath. The point of the Sabbath is so that we can ultimately love others better. As you withdraw into rest and worship, you'll find a growing love for your brothers and sisters, your neighbors, a gentleness towards them, increased sensitivity and compassion. Everything we do like this should have its motivation, its telos, its ultimate goal in loving others. So as I told my CrossFit instructor a few weeks ago, I was doing a consultation with him, and he said, so why are you doing CrossFit? Everybody has their own reasons, their own goals for why they're here. And I said, you know what, honestly, it's not really about me. I want to be a healthier, more fit, clearer thinking person so that I can better serve and love others. And I'm finding that I'm not always able to do that in my life because I'm not always feeling healthy or good. That's the telos, the ultimate purpose. And the Sabbath does this. It helps us to love others. But then it also helps us in reaching others. And I don't think I need to convince you that we live in an age of hurry, an age of multitasking and stress. And it's killing people. Quite literally, it's killing people physically, but it's killing us spiritually. And people are looking for deeper meaning in life, a deeper way of living. Because many of us realize as we strive to be the best, to succeed, to have everything, to indulge, to chase experiences, to cross all the things off our bucket list, at the end of the day, we're weary. We feel used. We feel deceived because these things didn't promise all or didn't deliver all that they promise. It's like when I ask my neighbor how his fancy vacation was, which is fine. Take a fancy vacation. I'm about to go on a vacation. You need it. It's good for your soul. Again, you have an ultimate telos behind it. But I asked him how his fancy vacation was, and the two words he gave me struck my heart. I have not let them go. He said, elegant boredom. That's how he described this thousands and thousands of dollar, very long, month-long vacation. Elegant boredom. And I just thought, people are looking for a deeper, richer, more meaningful way of living. And the Sabbath is probably the easiest Ten Commandment to talk about in today's world. That's why I'm calling it the missional commandment. And I found this to be so true. It's a great open door. I mean, it's kind of hard to approach somebody and say, hey, did you know our God forbids adultery and sexual promiscuity? Let me tell you more. It's not really much of a conversation starter in today's world. I mean, yeah, you get there eventually, maybe. But it's pretty cool to say, did you know our God? He's so good. He's so gracious. Did you know he gives us permission to rest one day a week? Our God doesn't expect us always to be on. Isn't that cool? So I really believe this is a missional commandment for today's world, that as we start living this out, we can then with confidence explain it to others and invite them into a rhythm and a way of life that is richer and deeper and ultimately draws us into the hearts of our good God. So here's my closing word. If you've never tried observing the Sabbath before, why not try and test God in this? It's kind of like tithing. God says, hey, try me out, guys. Test me in this. I'll be faithful. Read a book about it. There's lots of good books written about it. We have one featured in the library right now, sitting out there. So here's your assignment or application, really for the rest of the day. Worship, which we've already started and done, and rest. As Eugene Peterson says about the Sabbath, he says, Sabbath is about two things, pray and play. I think that's a pretty good definition. It's the worship and the rest, pray and play on the Sabbath. And if you'd like to find time to pray now in a second, there will be three prayer teams up here that will be available up front to pray with you, or feel free to find a place to pray. But instead of singing a song to close, as we often do, let's just have a mini Sabbath right now. We're just going to have a minute or two of quiet rest with no goal. You're not trying to accomplish anything in this minute. You don't have to pray. You don't have to talk to God. You don't have to think about the things he's asking you to do. Just be. Just rest in the arms of your Father. So would you do that for just a second? We're not going to play any music. We're not going to do anything. We're just going to rest in the arms of our good Father. Let's take a mini Sabbath right now.
Go ahead and feel free to put a smile on your face. God, you're so good. Probably if we created the world, we would have done it differently, and it'd be a lot less good. We can be pretty hard on ourselves. We can be pretty hard on others. But you're an amazing God who says, I'm going to give you a whole gift, a whole day of rest. I'm not just trying to get as much out of you as I can. And God, that's just symbolic of the kind of God you are, the God of grace. And Lord, in fact, we remember that Adam and Eve's first day on the earth was, in fact, the Sabbath day, the day you rested. But before they even did anything, before they could accomplish a thing, they were already loved by you. And so are we. So, Lord, those of us who are here right now this morning, we thank you that this is the way we can start our week with this Sabbath day of rest and worship, of pray and play. So, Lord, draw us in to your holy rest. And, Lord, I know this is going to look different for different people, and I pray that the right things would stick in our hearts this morning, that everybody would leave with a sense of curiosity just to explore your hearts and what you might be inviting them in to do. There's no legalistic prescription here, but simply a beautiful dance and conversation with our good God who wants to invite us into something. And you may call different people to different steps of obedience, but I ask that we would listen and hear from your Holy Spirit. So would you stand with me and would you receive this benediction from Hebrews chapter 4. It's a whole chapter on the Sabbath rest of God. And I won't read the whole chapter here, but I'll just read verse 1 and then verses 9 through 11. And as I'm doing that, the prayer teams will be up front. And if you just want to pray into any of this, or just want to pray about something completely unrelated, we never want you to leave without an opportunity to be prayed for. But would you receive this benediction from God's words, from Hebrews chapter 4? Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. Verse 9. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rest from their works, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will perish by following the Israelites' example of disobedience. So would you go and enter into that Sabbath rest of our good and loving God? Amen? Amen. Be blessed. Enjoy your Sabbath day.